Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I am super excited today because we have an attorney talking with us. So hopefully it will answer and clear up a lot of doubts that a lot of aspiring and career models have. So we have Kaylin Puccio. She's an attorney. Thank you so much, Kaylin, for being here on the podcast today. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm very well.
Amazing. So let's get right into it. I am super curious to know, first of all, what's your background in being like an attorney? Like, can you tell us about where did you go to school? What type of law you focus on? All that type of stuff.
Yeah, so I actually started as a model before I was an attorney. I went to Georgetown Law. I'm currently focusing on fashion law and ethics, including bioethics. Kind of an interesting story, but the nexus is always about ethics.
Okay, amazing. So what do you do, like your everyday work? What's it like? What do you do for clients?
So I actually work with both models and agents/managers, depending on how they refer to themselves, on contracts. So I am a transactional attorney. I like to get things done the right way before it gets to the litigation process, which usually starts with a collaborative contract arrangement. So I like to work on the contracts with my clients. Usually it's models who come to me with representation contracts from their agents and just want an extra peek at it. And that's smart. So that's what I do on the model side. I make sure that things are not so much against them out of their favor in the contract. And then on the agent manager side, it's interesting because a lot of the laws regulating agents and managers, it varies by state, of course, but they're sometimes not so clear. So for example, I'm working with one manager right now who is very confused about what she's supposed to be doing in terms of licensing. So I'm walking her through that process.
Okay, well, that's very, very interesting. I'm also like super curious to know, why did you want to focus as an attorney, as a lawyer? Why did you want to focus in the modeling industry? I know you had the background of being a model. Was there anything that happened, anything that you saw that inspired you to focus on this side of the law?
Yes, there was a lot that was, I like how you call it, inspiring. to work on the other side, to protect models and even to protect managers and agents from basically unclear laws. So when I was a model, this was kind of before law school and a little bit during law school, a little bit after law school, very nebulous. So I have 2 years in my brain right now. There's pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. So the timeline is a little bit blurred, but while I was modeling, I was in law school and I was very adept at reading contracts. I had dealt with a lot of contracts even before going to law school. It was one of the reasons that I decided to become an attorney and go to law school was to protect myself. So I would get these modeling contracts from, you know, big, well-known agencies, which I thought was great, and I really wanted to work with them. And I thought, you know, this is what an opportunity for me. But then I would read the contracts, and there would be some major issues. And a lot of times when I went to negotiate as the model, it was not open to negotiation. Wow. And I wasn't willing to give up certain of my rights. So I decided to move to the other side of things to help models even understand their contract, even if they can't negotiate or don't want to negotiate, just understand what their rights are and what the contract actually says.
Amazing. So that means that, if I understood right, that means that at the time you were studying to be a lawyer while you were like in school, at that same time you were still modeling.
I was, yes, actually. So before law school, I started as an actress, and I was doing a lot of independent films, some of my own films. I did some producing, and it was the contracts that I was working on with my own production company during that time that spurred me to go to law school, because some of the lawyers I was working with I wasn't really sure if the final contracts that I was receiving that were really supposed to be in my favor were actually in my favor. So I said, you know, this, some of these clauses that are in here can really get me on the hook for a lot of things that I don't want to be on the hook for. So why am I paying lawyers who are essentially, you know, either making mistakes and using a template, leaving this in, and it's not supposed to be applicable. So I decided I'm going to go to law school so that I can protect myself. And that was in terms of, again, acting and filmmaking. While I was in law school, I, you know, out and about socializing as one does in law school, which is kind of unusual, I guess. But as I was out and about socializing, I went to a magazine party and met a modeling agent. This was in DC. I went to Georgetown Law and we got to chatting. She introduced me to a photographer friend of hers who was at the same party. And, you know, I hadn't really been thinking about modeling seriously until that point. I had done a little bit in the past, but I decided, all right, you know, I have an opportunity here, kind of get my name out there. I was still acting. Acting and modeling are pretty much, what, you know, two sides of the same coin. So I figured if I can get work, I'll do it.
Yeah, no.
So that's how I started modeling in DC.
No.
And then I moved back to New York. And that's where I had a lot of opportunities with acting and modeling, but the contracts, I just eventually refused to sign them. So I kind of went out on my own.
So you ended up signing with no one when you came to New York?
I did sign with an agency. Okay. When I came to New York. I signed with a few agencies and I was freelancing for a few agencies. The agency that I wound up signing with was a very friendly contract. It was very easy to get out of if I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
It was compatible with my personal management contract, which I had with a talent manager.
Okay.
So I could make it work. Some of the other agencies were not willing to work with me in that sense because I was at the time acting and modeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so any type of like work that you want to share with us that you did in the past that you were really excited to get about the time that you were like a model, just to like get an idea for people, like what were you doing while you were still like a model?
So one of the interesting stories is I was kind of modeling in a lot of different spaces. So that included shoe modeling, showroom, things like that. I was working... or at least I was represented in a lot of areas. I didn't necessarily work in all of those areas because my time in New York as a model was a little bit short-lived thanks to the pandemic, which came at an inopportune time for everyone. But one thing that really, I always remember, I was so excited to get my first shoe fit modeling.
Mm-hmm.
Casting. It wasn't even a job. It was just a casting. And I was so excited because I had never done shoe fit before. And it was for, I believe it was Michael Kors.
Okay.
And I wear Michael Kors shoes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, this is perfect. You know, I'm a size six. It's going to be great. So I went to the casting. I was the only one there. And I thought, oh, that's, you know, not a lot of competition for me. So I guess this is kind of good. But then I wound up actually working that day that I was there for the casting. And I was, you know, with shoe fit, you're trying on shoes for not just, oh, does a size six fit, but is it uncomfortable here? Is it too tight here? Does it rub here? You're kind of giving feedback to the company so that they can make minor adjustments before the final product goes to market.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing all that and I was there for a few hours. And then I'd never gotten paid for that. So, and I wasn't able to get in touch with my agent that day. The agency that I was with, I was freelancing with that agency, was specifically for shoe fit and showroom. And it was just the working relationship wasn't working. So I always think, you know, when you're so excited about something, about an opportunity, you're almost blinded.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very weird when, you know, you're the only one in there for the casting.
Mm.
Maybe they do it individually, but I was the only one in the waiting room. So, you know, there's kind of red flags here and there, but you're blinded to them because you're so excited about the opportunity. So it's something I always remember when I'm talking with my clients, especially first time or early career models who just want to sign with an agency, any agency, because they got a contract offered to them. It's not always the best thing for you. And so what I use another example to illustrate this point. Once I stopped working with my agencies, I basically just said, you know, I'm going to move to the other side of things because I think the industry needs to change a little bit. And I want to help facilitate that for both sides, for models and for agents and managers. So what I did was I reached out to certain company brands that I like to wear regularly. And I said, you know, hey, here's just everyday pictures of me wearing your clothes. This is what it looks like. You know, maybe we can work out some sort of a partnership or collaboration in something because I'm now, you know, freelance, not with an agency. And that worked for one of my favorite brands. Again, so the ultimate collaboration was they would provide me with clothes whenever I needed. I would just contact them and say, hey, I have an event or an appearance or whatever it is coming up that I was doing for acting at the time. And they would provide me with my wardrobe. Now, amazingly, this, of course, events and appearances, they all stopped with the pandemic, unfortunately. But that's an anomaly. Hopefully it's an anomaly. So the point is that you can work without an agent, especially if the agent doesn't really have your best interests in mind. And that becomes clear in a lot of instances when you first look at a contract.
Yeah. So now speaking about contracts, generally speaking, what would a model or an aspiring model look for in a contract? What would be like, okay, what would we note, okay? Because I've signed like several contracts in my modeling career, and a lot of contracts are very similar. They have similar wording, they ask for similar things. So generally speaking, what would be something that a model should look for, pay attention to?
Yeah, so in general, there are a few words specifically that are indicators that you need to more closely look into a clause. Mm-hmm. So for example, in perpetuity, which means, you know, forever, worldwide, or in the agency's sole discretion. These are all things that limit your rights as a model and your ways that you can basically protect yourself and form your career. So it doesn't mean that they're always bad. Those are just key words to look for and really make sure that when you see them, you're reading that clause closely, you understand what it means. And if your agency is open to discussion, which they usually are, even if they say they're not, you can say, you know, this says in your sole discretion, but I'd like to get this, let's say, in writing, in advance of you doing this so that you as the model know what's going on. The other thing to really watch for is anytime the agency has a clause that says if a client doesn't pay the agent, they can effectively, what it is that they're saying they can use your money to chase down a non-paying client, which means you're on the hook for any legal fees that they incur while trying to get the client to pay. This, you don't want this in your contract. So it's not common.
Okay,
I have seen it, and it's one of the reasons that I did not sign with an agency, because I saw that in there. I understood what it meant in practice, and that was non-negotiable for me. So you may think that your agency has a lot of leverage, and frankly, they do, but you also, the leverage you have is your own personal standards for your career, and you need to stick to your guns about certain things, especially when it involves you potentially being on the hook for an awful lot of money that you may or may not have or want to give up or should give up, because in effect it is, it's their job to go after that money as your agent, particularly because they're taking usually 20% of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything else that you think like a model should really like pay attention to when reading a contract?
First of all, there are several things. And for this, every word in a contract is important.
Okay.
And the funny thing about contracts is that each term that's in the contract, so you have these little paragraphs, you know, paragraph one, the contract is for 2 or 3 years. Paragraph two, this is what our responsibilities are. Everything is important in the contract, and you need to not only read those in terms individually, but in the context of the contract as a whole, because they interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why you really want to get a lawyer involved, because even if it's in plain English and it seems self-explanatory, there's interactions that might be buried that you really want a pro to illuminate for you.
Mm-hmm.
The other really interesting thing about the way a lot of modeling contracts are written is that, and this depends on the state, because in some states, agents are not required to be licensed. In California, they are. In New York, it's less clear than it is in California,
mm-hmm.
but they are.
Okay, okay.
So the way that model, they'll call themselves model management companies.
Mm-hmm.
The way they get around the licensing requirement, or the way they say, oh no, we're not an agency, is they'll write in their contracts that they're not supposed to procure work for you. I mean, they're not going to submit you for jobs. They're not going to actively look for work for you, which is in reality the exact purpose of having representation.
Mm-hmm.
So based on the contract, they're not legally obligated. And they'll even write, we will not be obligated to do this, and we will not do this, because they recognize that if they do that, they're acting as an agent, and to do that, they need to be licensed.
Mm.
So again, this depends on the state. You have to be careful about that, because not all states require licenses for agencies. And in New York, to stress, the laws are, they're based on the employment laws, the labor laws. So they're very, you know, it's not a talent agency act like we have in California. Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of apply a bunch of different laws to the modeling industry to understand what your contract is saying, and the fact that your model manager is actually functioning as an unlicensed agent in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, you have to really read those contracts. And I guess, like, it is true. Sometimes as a model, you're so excited to get an opportunity. You're so excited that finally somebody got back to you, that finally somebody offered you a contract. And you feel that type of, like, pressure to just say yes to whatever they offered you, like, no, like, I think, like, one of the things that models are really afraid of is, like, being seen as difficult just by saying regular questions, like, hey, can you please, like, explain this further? Can you really, like, let me know what this clause means? Like, even those things, I'm sure models and aspiring models are afraid to even just ask, because they're going to be seen as difficult. And that's one of the reasons, like, a lot of models sign these contracts that are like 2-3 years long, and they have no rights. They're locked in exclusive contract. They cannot get jobs anywhere else. Sometimes these contracts are worldwide, even though the agency is just based in one city, in a country. So yeah, 100%, I would advise to really read those clauses and really ask those questions. And I remember I got offered a contract, and I was like, there was some clauses in it that I didn't like agree with. And I remember being slightly like afraid to ask and to negotiate. And one of my friends, she was like, hey, don't be afraid to ask, don't be afraid to negotiate, because they already offered you the contract. So she was saying to me, I've never heard of an agency that wants you, that offers you a contract. And if you ask a question, they're gonna say we're done with you type of like situation. And she was like, and if they do, obviously you don't want to sign with them. So
basically, yeah. That's exactly right. You know, you want an agent who is going to be your partner, your business partner. Mm-hmm. Modeling is your business. You are the product, essentially. You are the business. And in taking on an agent, you're taking on a partner. So when you have a partner who is so self-interested that they don't even want to talk to you about what the contract means for you, you know that that's a good indication this is probably not the right agent for you, because there will be other agents who will treat you more fairly.
Yes.
Which will allow your career to flourish. You don't want to be under their thumb for 3 years in an exclusive contract. When if you ask a question, they immediately see you as difficult. That's not the way to work with someone and to grow someone's career.
Yes.
So you need to be comfortable and confident enough to say, basically, you have to be comfortable knowing that sometimes you will have to walk away. Mm-hmm. That's okay. There are 1,000 agencies out there. And it's hard to come by one that's right for you, but mm-hmm. you would much rather wait a year for that agency to come along than be stuck for 3 years with an agent that's put you on the sidelines just because you're not compatible.
Yes.
So definitely read the contract beforehand, because in a lot of instances, what agents will do, and this happened to me, and I've heard some of my clients this happened to as well, they will call you and they'll say, we want to offer you a contract, mm-hmm. come in. And mm-hmm. then they'll wait to give you the contract until you're sitting in front of them in mm-hmm. their conference room or their office. So that gives, it's sort of that intimidation factor.
Yes.
Sitting in front of them. Maybe there's your manager and the owner of the agency in that room, and they're both looking at you, holding a pen out to you and saying, sign here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really be confident and say, you know what? I really appreciate this. This is, I'm so overwhelmed by this opportunity. I can't even think straight or what. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that dramatic. Just say, look, I want to take this contract back. I'll look it over. I just need some time to think and get back to you tomorrow. How does that sound?
Boom.
They should be okay with that. And if they're not, another red flag.
Yes. Yes, 100%. Yeah, you are giving a great tip. 100%. If an agency offers you a contract, take the time to read it. Take the time to ask questions. And if they're pressuring you to sign it on the spot, then that's definitely a red flag and you should walk away probably.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Not every first opportunity is the best opportunity that comes along. If someone is interested in you, that is an indication that you're doing something right and someone else will see that.
Yes.
And it's going to be maybe the third, fourth, fifth, 50th agency that you apply to. Or, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I've applied to so many agencies mm-hmm. before even getting a response. You don't even get a no most of the time. You just, it just goes
silence.
Into the ether and it's just total silence. And you think, oh, okay, well, next.
Mm-hmm.
But you just, that's where the persistence comes in. It's just very basic concept. But once again, have the confidence to know that you can walk away from a situation that is not right for you. It doesn't mean you're walking away from your career.
Yes, yes, you're 100% right. It's true. And yeah, there are agencies, like I love what you said about like, hey, if this agency is offering me a contract and I don't agree with the way they're like treating me, that means there are other agencies that are gonna offer me a contract as well. Like, I love that. Actually, that's a story that happened to a model. I don't know her personally, but I did hear the story. Like, this model, she got offered a contract. They were pressuring to sign her on the spot. They were making her feel like it was like the best opportunity she could ever get. And kind of like nobody else would like want her type of feeling, like the way they were making her feel. And she was so smart. She thought on the spot. She was like, hey, if these agents are trying so hard to sign me, that means that I am very valuable and another agency will want me. So she walked away from that situation, which is, I completely understand being so hard not to, because again, you submit to so many agencies, nobody's replying, nobody's saying yes to you, and finally somebody say yes to you, and you have all these clauses that are restricting your rights, and you're like, oh, it's so hard to say no. But as you said, take it into perspective, you could be locked in a 3-year contract, or you can wait another year for a better contract. So like, what's it gonna be?
Yeah, and good for that model who was confident enough and knew her worth and her value and was able to read the room and say, okay, you wanna sign me this badly and you're telling me no one else will, that doesn't mesh. So, you know, be present when you're in these situations, think about it, take whatever time you need, because if they want to sign you,
They will wait.
They will, exactly.
Yeah, I love that. So my follow-up question with this, like, let's say you got offer a contract, you told them, please give me time to read it. They're like, yeah, no problem, take your time. And let's say you read it, you have some doubts, or there's something that you 100% don't agree with, you want to negotiate. Let's say they're offering you a 3-year contract, you actually want 1-year contract. What's the best way for this model to go about negotiating with the agency? Is there any tips that you could give us, like how to like ask? Is there like a certain way that makes it easier to negotiate?
It depends on the relationship that you already have with the person with whom you'll be negotiating. Sometimes they're very open to it and sometimes they're not. A lot of times what I found when I was trying to negotiate my contracts was that the person that I was speaking with was the manager and really didn't have the negotiating leverage or knowledge. So it would be a lot of, you know, the manager would be the middleman and he or she would have to go back to someone else behind the scenes. So I would say if it's a larger agency where it's likely the case that your manager is not actually the one that's the final say and that has the final say over the contract, maybe ask for a phone call or a meeting or a Zoom meeting with your manager and the person that can actually negotiate these details so that it's not just so difficult for everyone. But also, I wouldn't ask. I've done this a few ways when I was a model. I asked if they would be willing to speak about a couple of terms first. And to that, usually it's just a no, because it's easier for them to just say no if you ask basically for permission to negotiate. So I don't do that anymore. I go in and say, you know, I'd like to discuss, this will be in an email, for example, terms 1 and 5 and 7, because I'm a little bit confused about a certain things. And if you couch it as being confused instead of being concerned about what they say, then they'll have to come in and explain it to you, and you get them on the phone in that way, and you can have that conversation and say, okay, well, if that's what that means, maybe we can do this, because this will allow for me to do this in this way. You always want to try to make it sound like it's something good and positive for the agency while actually protecting your rights. And this is why you can do these negotiations yourself. You just have to kind of think it through and schmooze a little bit. But also, I would say, if there's a clause that you are very, very concerned about, or something that your lawyer pointed out to you that just needs to be deleted completely because it's too oppressive, ask your lawyer how to handle that particular clause. Because they might have some ways to say, okay, well, you know, approach it this way, because then they might be more responsive. So I always say, talk to a lawyer. I know that it can get expensive, but think of it as an investment in your career, in your future. If you want to do it right, do it right from the outset, so that you don't get involved in even more expensive potential litigation later.
Yes, yes. And that's what's going to be my next question. I don't know if you are okay with sharing this, but could you give us like kind of like an idea of how much it would cost a model to get an attorney to read their contracts? Maybe not even do the negotiation, just like, you know, because sometimes you're like, oh, I don't really understand this word. It's not sure if this is right or wrong. Like, around how much would it cost a model to be like, hey, could you please like review this and give me some pointers?
So this varies dramatically based on attorney, based on the actual contract. Some contracts are one page and some are six pages. And it also depends on the type of attorney that you go to and their level. If you're going to a large law firm because you found an entertainment lawyer who has some familiarity with modeling contracts, who happens to be a partner at that law firm, that's going to cost you a lot of money. That may be $750 an hour. You don't even need to go that route. You don't need to go to the big name partner firms. You certainly can. I would say some entertainment lawyers absolutely have the knowledge of the industry to help you through that contract. Some do not understand the inner workings of the modeling industry. Yeah. And this goes back to the point about the peculiar way that modeling contracts are written, such that they are written as management contracts, but they're actually agency contracts. That's an industry insider knowledge kind of thing. And an entertainment lawyer certainly may know that, but also may not. So you want to look for a fashion lawyer or someone who specifically focuses on modeling contracts or in some way is familiar with these types of contracts and the industry. So on the other end of that, you have boutique. For example, my law firm is Puccio Law. It's a boutique firm. It's not a large practice with, you know, 50 partners. And my hourly rate is far lower. And what I also do, because I know the purpose, my purpose was to aid and assist models, not to prevent them from gaining the access that they need to legal representation. And I know that finances are a huge barrier. I dealt with it, so I understand it. So what I can do is work with the budget. I can say, okay, no, I can't negotiate this for you because your budget is, let's say, $250, and the negotiation would cost $500. But what I can do is read it over, point out things that you need to be wary of, tell you what questions to bring up in your meeting, and then go from there. So it's a little more flexible.
Okay. So let's say that if somebody had around $250, that could cover at least reading the contract and getting the pointers to like move forward. But in terms of getting a lawyer involved in the negotiation process, you might need a little bit more money for that.
No, you might. I mean, it depends on the complexity of the contract and the willingness of your agency to negotiate. If they're going to protract the negotiation, if they're going to make them very long and drawn out, it's going to cost more money. It doesn't need to be that way, though. And that's a very rare instance, because usually if there are protracted negotiations for a basic representation contract, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
You might want to look in a different direction. It's also those types of things that I try to guide models. It's not just the law, it's the business. It's understanding the industry itself and how things sort of function and ways to get around things. I always try to cap contract evaluations at 250, because I think that's a reasonable, it's an attainable number, but it also allows me to continue my practice. So I'm sort of flexible. Because again, I was in this position, so I'm sort of beyond
sympathetic.
I'm sympathetic to it. Yeah, so you know, I do try to work with budgets, but it depends on the contract. If it's an 18-page contract, unless it's very simple and uses huge font, it might be a little more than an hour's worth of work.
Yes. Some contracts are actually really, really long, but that's great. That's great. Honestly, on a general level, like, I think that it's very, how do I say this? Like, I would see that it is useful and okay to spend around $250 for a lawyer to read it over and give you the pointers. I think that's, if an agency is a good agency, I think that would be enough to just move forward with the contract, because that way you have the pointers, you know how to, like, what questions to ask, and then you just like write the email or have the phone conversation with the agency, and hopefully you do the negotiation process yourself and you should be fine. Like I said in this like story about my contract that I got offered, I was like a little afraid of like asking, but gladly my friends were like, no, don't be afraid to ask, just, you know, it's totally fine. I did ask the questions. I actually negotiated all this like clauses that I had, and it was totally fine. Like, so the moral of the story is like, don't be afraid to ask. And like you said, use the word, I'm confused. And then try to negotiate the stuff that, you know, it might be too harsh on you. Totally fine. And the other thing that I want to ask, now that we have talked about like how to like get to the point where you're like negotiating and like finally like signing the contract and everything, let's say that you did sign the contract and something happened and you're not happy with your agency anymore, but you're locked in a 2-3 year contract. There's still months or even a year left, and there's a clause in the contract that says that basically you can only leave or tell them that you're leaving, like, I think there's some clauses that say like 90 days before your contract is like over. Let's say your situation is like, I'm not working enough. Like and this is an exclusive contract. It's locking me from other opportunities. I'm not making any money. This is my livelihood. How can you, is it, first of all, from your point of view as an attorney, is it possible to break a contract that literally says you cannot break it? And if it's a possibility to break it without a lawyer, how could you make that happen from your experience?
It absolutely is possible. It's actually not that difficult because of the way general model management contracts are written and the way that they usually function as unlicensed agents. Now, you asked whether this could be done without a lawyer, and it can, but what you need to do is get just have a conversation with the lawyer. Present the lawyer with your contract. Say, this is the situation. Because in your contract, it most likely says the agent is not required to procure work for you. So your argument that I haven't worked and they haven't done anything for me is going to fall flat. But if they actually have, you know, if they submitted you a couple of times in the first year and then never again, you do have grounds. Because of the way the contract is written, and this is in mostly in New York and LA. Mostly in New York, I would say, because a lot of the agents in LA actually are licensed because the law there is very clear. So let's say you're in New York. What you would need to do is actually, it's a very quick conversation with your lawyer. Get the lawyer to explain exactly what to say to your manager. To allow them to understand how you can actually get out of this contract. And I can't exactly, so it will depend on what the contract says, the particular language. So I can't specifically say right now for everyone what you should say.
Yes.
But it's just a very quick conversation with your lawyer. Generally, there's going to be a very easy response, and usually your manager, knowing that they're performing as an unlicensed agent in most cases, will just say, okay, go ahead, do what you want. It's also just from a business perspective, even if they're not necessarily acting illegally, let's say, do they want to keep you on their roster if you don't want to be there, and if they don't want you to work, it doesn't make any sense for them to just have that kind of extra weight. So there are ways for sure.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't suggest actually doing it alone. Just have that quick conversation with the lawyer.
Okay. Yeah. I love that we have kind of like talk about around how much it will cost to get a lawyer involved, because now it feels a lot more attainable than, I don't know, I feel like in my point of view, when I don't know the information, it seems a lot more complicated and attainable in my head. But now that I do know the information, you can be like, okay, this is something that maybe I can work with. Like, I actually can get a lawyer involved and it's not going to break my bank. Obviously, depending on your current financial situation, but it feels like it's not, like you said, $750. an hour, which is like a lot of money. So
And you know what? If you really, if you can't afford the $250, still talk to that lawyer. Because generally, for example, what I do is I'll have an initial conversation with someone that's totally free. It's just sort of that consultation. We're trying to figure out if we want to work together. If you tell me in that initial consultation, you can, there's no way that you can pay $250, we will, I will usually try to find a way to work something out so that we can work together, especially if I see just at an initial glance that your contract is really oppressive and there are things I need to tell you. I'll try to make it work. So just be upfront about that.
Okay.
You can't always expect that to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
It might just be, look, you know, this is going to be $250 because it's, you know, this complicated or whatever it is. But just have that conversation.
Yeah.
I always think being open and upfront about those things
mm-hmm.
is the best method, because there's, in my view, there's always a way to work it out.
Mm.
Okay. I love that. I really do. Because it's true. Sometimes you're like, okay, I can't afford the $250, unfortunately, and I'm in this really hard contract that I need to get out of. It's actually, they always say, people always tell me, like, always ask. The worst thing that they can say is no, but there's so many times that you get a way to work things out. So I love that you mentioned that, because it's true. Like, you might actually be able to afford a little less, but there's no harm in just asking and seeing if there's something that can be worked out. So I love that. I love that you mentioned that. I do think that hopefully if anybody, well, I hope nobody's struggling with their contracts, but if there is somebody struggling with their contract, I hope that this gives them like a little bit more hope that they can get like professional help, and it's not gonna like hopefully break their bank depending on like who they talk to. But speaking about that, what you mentioned before about like, usually an agency won't want to have a model that's unhappy with the agency. It's true. Like, I had an issue with an agency in the past. I was in a situation that I wanted to get out of the contract because I wasn't happy. I wasn't working. And I really like struggle with talking to them and just like make up my mind to like talk to them. Like, just a personal thing. Because again, you feel like you don't want to be an issue in the agency, you don't want to cause trouble and stuff. So gladly, finally, I was like, okay, I'm actually like not happy. Let me, I did research online. I looked up like, can you break a modeling contract? And there were some people online that said like, hey, if an agency, and like an agency won't want to keep you if you're unhappy with them. So just tell them, like, it's that simple. And if it gets more complicated than that, then you might be like out of luck, or you might have to like get a lawyer involved. But like, that was like kind of like the first level answer. And I was like, okay, let me just like talk to them and see what they say. And it was a little hard, but at the end of the day, I was able to get out of the contract. We had to make like I had to negotiate how to get out of the contract basically.
Okay.
So it would have been nice at the time maybe to know like, hey, actually like I could like just reach out to an attorney who has an experience of the modeling industry, and I could actually just get like some sort of information on what to do, because this situation could be actually a lot more simpler than it was at the time.
Well,
yeah, so.
Exactly, and look, if you contact me in that first initial consultation we have and you say, I just wanna get out of my agency contract, and I say, well, have you spoken to them about it? And you say no, well, that's your first step. Go ahead and speak to them, and then you might not even need me. So, and that's just, you know, that's not something that I charge you for. That's just getting to know your situation, you know, and then you just go. And oftentimes, like in your situation, if you just have that conversation, you might be surprised at how receptive they are. If it's a relationship that's not working for either side anymore, they might actually be feeling the same thing you are and not want to approach you about it. Or just it's easier for them to just ignore the situation because they have other models that they want to focus on. But, you know, just cut the cord.
Yeah, just ask.
Yeah.
The worst thing is they can say is no, and then you go to Caitlin Puccio.
Yes.
And then you get a consultation and see what you can work on next. Amazing.
Yes.
I love that. Okay. I wanted to ask you this. I don't know if this is something that has to do with other specifics of the agency or something, but modeling contracts are usually about a year to 3 years long. From your knowledge of the law of the industry, is there an amount that you think it's right, it's wrong, you should be worried about, it should be okay, or is the 1 to 3 years totally fine?
So that's the industry standard. I would say 3 years is a very long time in terms of your actual career if you are not working with, if you're not working during those 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
1 year, you can try to get a 1 year contract. It's unlikely to happen. So I would say 2 years is the most likely, the place where you're going to land. And mm-hmm. I think it's actually a reasonable place for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I do work with both sides, with models and managers separately. They're not, you know, part of the same agency. But I find that that's workable for both the model and the manager, because it's not so long where you're just stuck on the sidelines. You know, 2 years can go fast.
Mm-hmm.
If you're actually developing, 3 years, that can seem like a really long time. But sometimes for 1 year, if the manager is actually working on developing you, it might take more than a year to get you to the point at which you are ready to go out and work and start booking. They might, you know, send you out on a few castings and say, okay, well, you know, this is what I heard from this team, and then we have to work on this. That's actually what a manager should be doing, is really, if they've taken you on with an eye toward developing you, it might take that time, because then they'll go back and say, okay, we need to add this to your portfolio. So a year, you might just be getting started, really. So I think 2 years is kind of the magic number. And if your agency is unwilling to budge for that 3 years,
mm-hmm.
I would make sure that the rest of your contract is really airtight. And you know, even at 2 years, every time you have a contract, you want to make sure it's airtight. But especially mm-hmm. when it's very long term like that, and mm-hmm. I consider 3 years very long term in the modeling industry, definitely consult a lawyer about that one.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much. So is there anything else that you would like to share with models and aspiring models? Something that you think they should know? Anything?
Yeah, I would just reiterate again that the most important tool you have is your confidence, and knowing that even if an opportunity comes along, you can say no, and you have to be able to have the hard conversations that you know are in your best interest. No one is going to look out for you like you will. And this is, they're kind of easy words to say and easy to hear and more difficult to put into practice. But you really need to make sure that you go into these, whether it's meetings or castings or any situation, being willing to walk out the door because it's not right for you. So absolutely have that confidence. And if you don't have that confidence, work on it. You know, just make sure you get to that point and just keep telling yourself, it doesn't mean it's the end of my career if I'm walking away from this. It means I walked away from something bad that could have been a hindrance to my career.
Amazing. I love that. Thank you so much, Caitlin, for sharing your knowledge with us and for sharing all these amazing tips. I really hope that everybody got a better idea of what to look for in their modeling contracts and, you know, get that confidence to just ask the questions. Just ask a question. That's the first step. All right. Yep. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you so much, Caitlin, for being on the podcast. And I'll talk to you guys and see you guys on the next one. Bye.